Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to the VS Code live stream. Today is Wednesday, July 28th. Thank you for being with us. We've got a great show for you today. I think you'll think too. Stick around, check it out. Before we get into that, a couple reminders. If you're watching us on YouTube, you're in the right place already. Just like and subscribe. You're already there. It's like two extra clicks. Do that for us. And we'd like to engage with you there. That'd be great. Also, check us out on TikTok. Yes, we're on TikTok. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun there. We don't dance, or maybe we do. The only way for you to know for sure would be to go to tiktok.com/@VSCode and check us out there. We'd love to see you there. Now, we've got a great stream for you today. We have a partner with us today, Pulumi. And Pulumi is a service that lets you deploy and manage your cloud resources, but using your favorite programming language. And we thought, well, that sounds cool. And so we've invited them onto the stream to show us more about it. Now, I'll be the first to admit, as your humble host here, that I don't really know much about deploying resources to the cloud, infrastructure as code, Terraform. These things sound very complicated. These are big words. They sound great. I'm not exactly sure what they do, which is why I'm excited to have Maddie with us today from Pulumi to set the record straight. Hey, Maddie.
Hey, Burke. How's it going? Good morning.
Doing well. How are you? What is Pulumi and what does it do?
So what do we do? So you really hit the nail on the head where it's giving you the ability to deploy and manage your cloud resources using your favorite programming language. And that sort of thing, when we think about this idea of cloud engineering, which is we build services and applications and things that provide value, and we use the modern cloud to do that. And you know, maybe whether we're using Azure or GCP or AWS or deploying things on Kubernetes, yeah, there's consoles and we can go in and we can click and we can do things, but we don't necessarily know what all the best practices are. And I don't know about you, but like I get really tired having to go in and be a click next engineer, especially if I don't know all of the dials and things to pull. Now, what we can do when we talk about infrastructure as code is this is saying not only are we able to kind of describe what we want in a declarative way using things we understand, but also what's really cool when we use a programming language to do this is we can do all the awesome things that a programming language gives us, right? So we have access to our IDE like Visual Studio Code. Who knew, right? All the great things that, you know, if you're used to writing applications in Go or TypeScript or whatever, we know we have auto completes, we have type ahead, we have all of our testing tools available to us. And we also can use fun things like conditionals and loops and things like that, because maybe when you're deploying stuff to the cloud, you have to deploy a bunch of files and you don't want to have to go in and say, let me upload this file, let me do this, or maybe you have to create a bunch of resources. We can use all of the logic of our programming language available to us as well.
Yeah, it's hard to do loops in YAML. I've tried.
Little bit, yeah.
Well, show us. Let's see what you got, man. I'd love to see this thing in action because sounds great. I personally do like to next finish. Yes. So I'd love to see what the benefit is for using a programming language to do that.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to take a look at a couple things here. I've got my VS Code up, and I do have Copilot disabled, although Copilot has been pretty fun. It works pretty well with Pulumi, but... also, fun fact, writing blog posts with Copilot is actually helpful. I didn't even think about it. I was writing a blog the other day and it was in Markdown and Copilot. I'm like, wow, oh, this is great. But that's a different stream, I guess.
We do need to do a Copilot stream. I don't know if we've done one. We'll have to get on that.
I'd be happy to contribute to the blogging with Copilot. Bring it to that. But don't tell my boss. That's how I write my blogs. All right, cool. So what we're looking at here, I already have out here, I've got this www root. These are some of the files that my website is going to use, so that I know I'm going to want to have. So this is just already there. I have my very fancy, what my index file is going to be in a 404, because what we're going to do is just get ourselves a static website out there. And I'm going, and I'll walk through this in a second, but just so we know the problem we're trying to solve. In this particular case, I'm going to be showing how to do stuff using Azure and using TypeScript as my programming language. That's not required. So you can use Pulumi if you're, like I said, if you're using AWS or GCP or Kubernetes, if you'd rather write stuff in C#, or Go or Python. That's all cool, but we only have so much time, so we're going to pick one thing. And a couple of things before we get started, just to know where everybody's at. We need to, you know, I've already done, I already have Node because I'm writing this in TypeScript. The other thing is I have the Azure command line tool already installed because that's how this stuff is all happening behind the scenes. And I've also installed our Pulumi program. So for example, you know, I sit here and I could say Pulumi version. We can see that it's actually installed. Cool. Super good. Quick background. We're not going to delve into this as much, but one of the things that's really important with an infrastructure as code tool is you have to have some way to understand your state, right? Which is what, you know, because what Pulumi is going to do is we're going to sit there and we're going to say, hey, I want my resources to look like this. And Pulumi is going to say, do they look like that? Cool. I don't have to do anything. Do they not look like that? Let me fix that. Well, Pulumi has to understand what you have. So you have to have somewhere to store your state. And with Pulumi, there's various ways you can do that. You could store that in blob storage or an S3 bucket. We have a SaaS offering, which is free for, we have an enterprise offering, but anybody can use it for free. And that's what I'll be using is our SaaS. So that's where if you sit there and you can see, if I say Pulumi, who am I? That just says I'm logged in as Matt Stratton. But so that's enough about kind of how these background things go. That said, let's kind of get in and build something. So the first thing we need to do when we want to get started is we need to create a project for our Pulumi program. So our infrastructure that we're going to build for our application for my fancy pants static website, we talk about this as being part of a project. And a project's a Pulumi program that when you run it, it makes the infrastructure the way that we want it. Cool. And every Pulumi project lives in its own directory. So I'm going to go ahead and just, we're going to call this one Burke is cool. Okay. And then if we go into Burke is cool, and that directory is where we're going to put our project. So what I'm going to do is we could create this all by hand, but that's seems a waste of time. So Pulumi can do some scaffolding for us, right? So if I say Pulumi new TypeScript, this is going to go ahead and generate the beginnings of a Pulumi program based on TypeScript. I could have done this with Python or Go or other programming languages. And there's even boilerplates that'll already do stuff for AWS and what and Kubernetes, but we're just doing this one. So what's our name? It's Burke is cool, the description. And we have to, every project has what we call stacks. And we're not going to dig into them too much, but you could think about a stack as an environment or an instance of this. So this stack is just going to be called dev. This is where we start. And it's going to go ahead, it's going to generate these files, and it's going to install the packages where we need to have them. So if we kind of take a look at what did it create, we've gone in here and the our main program is our index.ts, which isn't really doing anything yet. It's just importing the Pulumi package. If we were to take a look at our package, we can see these are, you know, it's we're using the Pulumi package to get ourselves going, where it goes. And then Pulumi YAML is the config file for my program, right? Which just has the metadata about that. And that's pretty straightforward. We're going to be mostly working inside of just our index.ts where these pieces and parts go. Now, we want to use, since we're going to interact with Azure, we have to load the provider for that. And we're using something actually called the Azure Native Provider. And one of the cool things about the way these providers work is the Azure Native Provider is built 100% from the ARM API spec. So when Azure has new features and components, they're available in Pulumi within a day. We generate that every day based upon the API spec. So it's not a matter of, oh, there's a new thing that's available. Now someone's got to go into the code of the provider and add that feature. It's available right away, which gives basically, so if something's available in Azure, we got it. So what we want, so we're going to sort of set that by just, we're going to install the Pulumi Azure Native. Oop. That's what I get for hitting enter too quickly. There we go. Azure Native. And this is just an NPM package. So it's going to go ahead and take care of that for us. Again, I could have done this the long way by putting it in the package.json, but this will go ahead and get us this provider installed. And now that that's there, we can see that now we also have Azure Native. Now, we want all of our resources that we're going to do today to go into a certain location inside of Azure, whatever our region is, what we're going to call it. And so we're going to set this as a config, and we're going to set it saying for the Azure Native provided location, we're going to put it in West US because why not? And what you'll see, that then created a new file because these configurations are based on the stack. If I had a prod or a test or whatever, I'd have another one, and I want to deploy it in another location. This is basically saying, where does this stuff live? Cool, let's actually make a thing happen. So now we're going to take some static HTML files and we're going to make a website on Azure using Azure Storage. Now, we could also, if you're familiar with Azure Static Websites, that's a way we can do things. I like to show this example because you could do this similarly, like with an S3 bucket or something like that. Very similar. So we need to, if we go into our Pulumi program, we've got Pulumi imported, but we need to get a couple other things. So we need to get in play here our resources. I can type. And this is going to come from the Azure Native. Now, again, we're starting to get our advantage of our type ahead happening here, right? Cool. There we go. Okay. Now we're going to want to create a resource group. And because we're in TypeScript, we're going to create a constant and called resource group. And it's a new resources resource group. And again, so this is the thing. There's no Pulumi integration that I'm doing here in Visual Studio Code. I'm getting all this type ahead because it's just coming from that package that we've already loaded, which is pretty handy. Because I always, when I start a new thing, what I didn't like about that, cannot find resources, that's why. And this should be resource group. There we go. Maybe I do need Copilot, Burke. And so now we've gone ahead, we've created a new resource group. Now we need to create our storage account as well, because this is where that's going to go in, where we're going to stick our stuff. So we're going to now go ahead and import as storage from Azure Native Storage, which is letting us use these resources. And now we want to import that. So we're going to create our storage account. And again, I get my type ahead, which is amazing because as we all know, as I've already been able to see, I am really not good at typing. And we want to enable HTTP traffic only. So we set that to true. And you can see it's giving us all of these arguments that we know that are available to us. And this is the kind is... storage v2. And then we need to give it a name, which is going to be resource group, the name that we have there. And then because it's Azure, we have to say what's the SKU that we're actually using for this. SKU name, and it's the standard LRS. Go ahead and then close all these fun friends and things. Okay, cool. So what we've got there is we basically said we've defined our storage account. Now, these are all the things that if you were going in the console, you'd be clicking buttons and doing this piece. And we're using our enum support, so we're populating those values so we don't have to actually look them up. Now, we've got our storage account, but we want to add our storage static website. So this is our website. And so we're going to say it's static website. And this is storage account static website. And we're going to call this one my first app. Why not? Naming is fun. And the account name is that we're going ahead because we've created that storage account before. So we can just go ahead and pull up that value that of storage account.name. And then the resource group name is the same idea, right? It's the, we already have this resource group that we created. And so we can just enum its name off of that. And then we set the value for the index document is index.html. And then our error 404 document is going to be 404.html, which are those files that we've said we're going to keep in our, from our www root directory that I've already created. And so now we've created our static website. There we go. Now, the final thing, we've got a static website and we're telling it where to get its index file, what its index file should be called and what its 404 should be called, but we need to get them up there. So we added the storage static website, but we want to upload the files. And because we're using TypeScript in this case, or whatever programming language we choose to do, we can use things like loops, like we talked about. So what we can do here is we'll loop through those files in that directory. And we'll go ahead in each one and we'll add them to the upload. So if we go ahead and we were to say, you know, so we know we need index.html and we need our 404.html, and then we kind of bring this into a map. And then if we say this is a new, now it's going to be a storage blob. Not a blog, it's a blob. And we're going to say the resource group name for this one is our friend resource group name. The account name is the storage account. That name, the container is going to be the container name of that static website that we created. There you go, container name. And the source now is going to be saying for each of these things that we're stepping through. So we're going to say it's a new Pulumi.asset, and it's a file asset. Which we're using our interpolation, and we're going to say, so we know it's one level up because we're in Burk is cool, but we have them stored in that www root. So, and then and the content type is text HTML. Close these and make sure we don't have any red squiggles. There we go. It makes our life a little bit easier. So now we've gone. So again, we were able to iterate over this this list of files and not have to do this each time because we have a programming language. So cool. We have ourselves a little Pulumi program that's going to go ahead and create our storage account. It's going to kind of do our pieces and parts. Now, if we were to go ahead and I'm going to run a command called Pulumi up. And this is where Pulumi is going to go, and it's going to say, okay, I'm going to run your program, and I'm going to see what I know about the world and fix anything that has to get fixed. So if we were to take a look at what it says, okay, if I run this, it's going to start and say, these are the things I have to do. I have to create these resources. And if I want to look at the details, I can see all of the very specific things that Pulumi is going to do. And I want to say, yes, I would like to perform this update. And you'll see there's that link view live. So I could be all the things that I'm seeing in the console here could see live on the Pulumi website because I'm using the Pulumi service as the backend. And this is going ahead. Like you see, it's saying because it has to create all of those things. If I were to run it again, once it's done, it's not going to have to change anything because I haven't changed anything. So Pulumi's only making the changes that it has to. And there we go. So it's created those. So I have a website, but I don't know how to get to it. So we can we have this ability to pass values that Pulumi understands both back out to us, and we can even pass them around inside Pulumi programs. So if I sit here and I export a constant called URL, and that's just the value of storage accounts, primary endpoints, web, Now, if I were to rerun Pulumi up, first of all, we're going to see that Pulumi is going to tell us it doesn't have to do anything because I haven't made a change that would change the state of my resources. Because all that we did is it said it added this output. Now I could run the Pulumi up and that will give me that. And, but the other thing that we could do is if we just say, if we take this URL, I'm just going to say, don't run it. And if I just curl this, I can see I got my website. So that kind of got us where we needed to go. There's some additional things that we can do. One of the things, but I want to make sure we've got some time for questions. I've done stuff before where if I wanted to, for example, say, you know what, I'd rather do this in a Docker container. I could easily, I have my Docker file, I have my pieces. I can go ahead and build the Docker container with Pulumi. I can upload it to the registry in Azure, run it inside the container services, all these pieces and parts. So this is a very simple implementation, which is just we created a bucket for files and we pointed things to it. But I think we get some ideas around some of those pieces and parts of what we can do. I'm going to take a breath. So Burke, what are you, anything jumping out to you? Questions?
So this is quite fascinating, Maddie. One of the things that's jumping out to me as you go along is that you have to know quite a bit about Azure to do this, right? Like you have to know about resource groups. You have to know about standard, LRS storage. You have to know about storage SKUs, right? There's a lot of the sort of Azure specific minutia that seeps through into what you're doing here. But I suppose that is just standard for working with clouds, right? There's not an abstraction or...
There are. So there's a couple different ways to deal with that. Part of it as well is in this particular case, you might, if I was trying to do a thing like this, I'm actually probably more likely to use Azure Static Websites, which has a resource provider that actually takes care of a lot of this behind the scenes for you. So either you know this, but the other thing where things get really powerful in an organization is we have this idea of reusable components. So I can create classes and packages that are maybe this is how we create static websites in my organization, which then exposes that as a resource that already has all of this stuff done. Only need to know the part that I need to know. So, and that also those can be shared, whether they're within your organization or within good practices within the community, if people have those places. So a lot of this, and we have an experimental resource. We don't have it on the Azure side, but on AWS, we call it Crosswalk. And that's that idea. That's us actually saying, okay, these are all the really standard practices of the things you normally would do if you were creating a VPC in AWS. So these are the only things you have to worry about. So Pulumi gives that ability both within your organization or even if you didn't know it, but you're like, I don't want to have to do this all the time. Right. Like I create a lot of static websites. Let me just write this code one time. Now I have a component that represents what a static website means to me.
Right. So you can write your own abstraction there. I kind of like,
yes,
it's interesting. So we do have a question and I apologize, viewers. I'm so sorry. Our chat is down on Learn TV. So sorry about that. It is still working on YouTube, but we do have one question and I usually like to say the name when I ask the question just to thank folks for asking the questions, but the name's in Cyrillic and I think it's Cyrillic and I don't know how to read Cyrillic. I'll work on that. In the meantime, the question is, can you provide Kafka provisioning with Pulumi?
You can. We have a provider for Kafka. So that's the short answer.
what is Kafka for those of us that don't know?
So Kafka is... I actually usually have a hard time kind of figuring out where Kafka comes into play. And I don't want to give the wrong answer.
Gotcha.
You know it if you know it.
Is that sort of a niche thing? Should we?
If you need it, it makes sense. It's Apache Kafka. It's an event streaming platform, and by event we mean software event. We don't mean like StreamYard streaming events. So it's a distributed, so for kind of if you're dealing with stuff like streaming analytics around your events, your data, high performance data pipelines. So it's important. If you need it, you need it. But
All right. Well, we have another question for here, and this one is from Eduardo, I think. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly, Eduardo. Does Pulumi support resource importing for changes, aka resource adoption? Again, I'm not really sure what means, Maddie. Do you know
what that means? Yeah, I'm trying to parse what that would mean. So resource importing. Oh, okay. So actually, I think if you already have cloud resources that you didn't provision with Pulumi, you can absolutely bring them into Pulumi in that config. And there's a couple different ways. You can do that programmatically, but also let's say you went and you already built yourself some infrastructure in AWS and you're like, I'd like to manage this with Pulumi now. You can actually point Pulumi at those resources and it will generate Pulumi code for you that will make that happen.
Okay.
And this is actually kind of interesting because I was at Chef for a long time back in the day. And one of the things people always wanted, they said, why isn't there a program that I can just point Chef at my server and it'll give me a Chef recipe to make a server? And we're like, well, because Chef doesn't know all the things you might want to do on a Linux server. There's hundreds of thousands of configurations. Well, in the cloud, it's all an API. We know all the things you might possibly do on a resource group or on a thing. So you can import it and then be able to manage it.
So. Okay, so it'd be like if you had a server set up and you're like, I need something that generates this server right here so that I can generate it in multiple places, you can point Pulumi at that and it will give you the script that you need to make that server.
Pretty much, yeah. And then the same thing, if you're using Terraform, we have importers, you can easily import your existing Terraform into Pulumi code. You can do it for CRDs. And we're doing some stuff with CloudFormation around that too. So just to make it pretty easy, but you can also just point it at the stuff you already have.
So this is nifty, but let me ask, what is the cost here for me as a developer to use Pulumi? What's the cost to my company?
So that really depends upon how you're using it. So the project itself, Pulumi, is free and open source. Even our platform, if you're using it for the back end, as long as it has to do with how many resources are under management. Pretty much for most people, you're not going to hit that. But if you need things like policy as code, if you need RBAC and access control and things like that, that comes with the cost. But you also don't even have to use the Pulumi service. If you wanted to do this and not have it cost you a dime and do it and not have to deal with Pulumi, the company at all, you could store your state in Azure Blob or in S3 buckets or things like that. And you don't even have to use the service. We think that the service is one of the better ways to do it. And even then, it's for individuals and small teams that don't need those enterprise features. It doesn't cost you anything.
I gotcha. So the service, what's in it for Pulumi is the service that you provide, which provides the storage or the state management plus some additional things. What were those additional things?
So again, role-based access control. You know, if you want to say, okay, who has access to what stacks, and in that case, again, none of that is the access to the actual cloud resources, but to the Pulumi project that does
you.
That, right?
So you might write Pulumi up and it might say, nope, you can't because you don't have,
Okay. Right, exactly. And then also when we think about, so there's the ideas around policy as code where you can say, these are the policies from a compliance perspective that our Pulumi programs have to match. And I want to attach a policy to a stack or a project. That's all part of the enterprise offering.
Gotcha. Okay. Now here's an interesting question from Theorem Geek. What's the best way to have a lift and shift across cloud vendors, right? We see this a lot where people, they want to be able to shift from AWS to Azure, from Azure to AWS to GCP, or maybe they want to be across all three clouds, right? Because they want the maximum redundancy. And the question is just simply, is Terraform better for this?
I don't think so, because in any case, you're dealing, there's no abstraction. Like there was, way back in the day, there was a provider called Fog that was supposed to abstract. It was like a Ruby provider that was supposed to like abstract across all the clouds. The thing is, anytime you're trying to do multi-cloud in this way, you're going to your lowest common denominator in the first place. So this is a whole other conversation that we don't have time to get into about what multi-cloud really means and how it usually ends up burning you. But if you're moving from one to another, it's a different story. But again, unless you're using the very lowest level, like I just have a bunch of VMs kind of thing, all of the clouds are implementing something slightly different. So whatever tool you're using is going to consume them differently. Terraform, you're going to have different providers. The code doesn't just magically change because, you know, we saw that if you were to compare, like, what does it mean to create a storage account versus an S3 bucket? the terms are different, even the parameters are different. You know, this idea of having a SKU that doesn't exist in AWS.
Right. Right. So, yeah. Gotcha. Well, Maddie, thank you so much for being here. Fascinating stuff. I'd actually like to see this done in Copilot as well. My guess is it makes the demo no fun because Copilot anticipates, because I've tried, this is what happens. You go to write the code and Copilot gets it right. And you're like, well, I guess now I'm just going to push tab, right? Like,
right, yeah.
Demo's done. So we'll have to have you back to do that maybe. Thank you so much for being with us. People, check out Pulumi. Producer, do we have a link for Pulumi? Do we have a short link? Oh, we have a Pulumi/getting started. So check that out. Free and open source, but with a service if you need it, with some additional things that might work for you and yours. Maddie, thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it, man. All right. Thank you, everybody. We will see you back here when? Thursday next week. Producer, are we going over again? We're over again. That's okay. We're over every week. We missed the cutoff. Anyway, check out, codevisualstudio.com/livestream. Check out our next live stream coming up near you in a couple of days, and we will see you. Oh, Maddie, do you have one more thing?
I just saw a couple of questions in the chat. I'll hit them really, really fast.
Yeah, go ahead.
The question was, assuming that that Pulumi wraps Terraform, it does not. We have providers that are imported from Terraform, but it doesn't use Terraform behind the scenes. And there was also a question about the authentication. That's all happening with the Azure CLI. So that particular one. So I skipped past that really fast. But where you run the Pulumi program was set up for that. So
I know we were wrapping up, but we got some interesting ones coming. I know. Joe's like, how are you logging into Azure? Like, yeah, I had that question too. It just kind of worked.
Right, because I have the Azure CLI and I already authenticated to that. So where the Pulumi program is running, it's using the configuration from the Azure CLI.
Got you. So if you have the CLI installed,
and
you
whatever log in
via the CLI, and then Pulumi works.
Yep, and you can in your config of Pulumi, if you wanted to point to a specific, if you have multiple subscriptions in your CLI, you can point to which one matters to you and everything like that. So
Roger, got that. Okay, hopefully that answers the question there. Any more? I don't want to be like any last words
before. Okay,
end the stream.
Thank you so much, Burke.
Okay, we're good. Thank you for being with us, Maddie. Thank you for being with us, everybody. We will see you on the next VS Code live stream. Have a great afternoon.